morning, everybody. Good morning. We have the Touch and Rich radio program. And it is Celtics opening night tonight.
That's kind of where the story got left off. I conveniently didn't do anything from that Cavaliers series, even though it went seven games. Started with a good memory. And that's tonight. That's the 76ers, kind of the new rivalry. Have you seen the picture of how they made this TD Garden?
I have.
Look?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Free shirts, which
that's
I'm sure
how
is
it
the,
works.
Which I'm sure is the reason that everyone's going to want to go see this game tonight. I can't wait. I honestly can't wait. I spent way too much time last night reading about the predictions on the season, and I kind of geeked out on that stuff. My over-under is way higher than what everyone else is. I think like the 58 is the number.
Vegas is like 58, 58
they
and
won,
a half.
They won 55 last year. Oh. Like I'm like, honestly, without like joking around, I think I'm around like 63 or so. Like if you won that many last year and all those guys were hurt and the Eastern Conference isn't what it was last year, there's really no reason for you not to get in the 60s.
I think ultimately it's going to come down to rest for certain players. Gordon Hayward's on a minutes restriction early, you know, and injuries happen. And just, I don't want to say boredom, but I mean, yeah, you're right. The competition is not nearly as fierce. I mean, Milwaukee, I think, with everyone a year older and Giannis Antetokounmpo a year better, is going to be a pain. Philadelphia is probably the second best team. You don't know how Toronto's going to be with Kawhi Leonard. The Celtics are going to get a quick look at him later this week. Mm-hmm. We're going to see how good Toronto is later this week. I mean, yeah, the bottom half of the East is a mess, but the teams that are good are good, and maybe there'll be a problem for the Celtics. I mean, you're assuming 65 or 70 wins.
I said 63 is what I'm going to say.
Oh, so you've lowered it.
I've been kind of joking.
No. The 70 part I threw out, but I mean, you were pretty solid on 65, 66 in there.
I'm saying about, I'm going to stick with 63, I think. That sounds like a good, safe number.
That seems reasonable.
Maybe I'm pussing out. Maybe it's a definition of pussing out.
Over the course of a season, with the East bereft of talent as it is, five wins either way, if you rest guys and, I mean, I don't think it's that necessarily that horrible a number.
I think the main thing, Fred, I'm excited about is that just means we get to begin a nice slew of great Celtics guests, like regular Celtics guests, some of our favorites. Like Mike Gorman's going to be back, which will be awesome. Danny's always good, except his phone always sucks. We need to do something about getting him an actual phone. Like, I mean, how many?
He's in the car. But it's on Bluetooth.
Understood.
He's constantly in the car. His problem.
And that's his. And I'm sure that's when he's going back and forth. But even in the car, like technology, my friend. I mean, you're in Boston.
If you use Bluetooth in the car, it consistently craps out, no matter who you're talking to. You know who's fun about that is Matty Siegel. He is. He's got his Mercedes that he doesn't pay for, and then he'll call you.
Yeah,
and it's just like.
Well, how often do you talk to Matty?
Depends.
Ballpark. How many times?
Sometimes every week. Sometimes we'll go a couple months without talking to him.
Uh huh.
Depending on what he's reading in the trades or what something like that.
Ah, all right.
So, it happens to me too. With technology come, it's fraught with issues. So they'll have to, and the Celtics are going to have to figure out how to distribute the minutes and everything else, and that could be a pain in the ass.
And it's going to be weird, too, because I think that it's going to be a rocky start, but it's going to be an awkward start. If preseason showed us anything, I mean, Gordon Hayward, it's going to take him a while to get back. And I know he's on a minutes restriction, as he obviously should be, but they made it official yesterday that I think that he was at like around 20 minutes. I think that's what I'm saying. Something along those lines. It's going to be tough to watch Gordon Hayward for the first couple of months.
Well, he's very uncomfortable. Not only physically, is he still working his way back, you know, issues that have nothing to do with the leg he hurt, but he just looks like he's kind of looking around to see where he fits in the offense.
He
looks
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be a lot of that throughout the team. It's going to take him a while to figure out what's going on, and it's going to be a tough situation for Brad Stevens after you've had a run like you did last year with all these young guys, and then all of a sudden where are the minutes going to go?
Yeah, give it a month. I think in the first month you're going to have a lot of talking heads going, whoa, maybe the Celtics aren't as good as we thought we were, and then all of a sudden somewhere around like Thanksgiving It's just going to be like you're going to press the knob.
See it happen a lot.
And they're going to run off like 19 straight wins or something like they did last year. And but that's the way it's going to go. It's going to be horribly awkward.
Teams. You saw it when LeBron came back to went to Miami. Yep. They struggled in the first 2 months. You saw it when he came back to Cleveland. You've seen Golden State just out of sheer boredom. Well, we win every year. We're not going to care for the first couple of months.
Dan just said in my headphone, they come out 5-5. Your win total is shot. But then again, they're going to win like 28 in a row after that.
I've got a feeling.
63. That's where I've got him. Right. 63.
That's not happening.
Yeah, 63 is that's definitely
it's certainly
attainable.
Doable. It's certainly 63 is certainly doable.
Vegas has them at 59, so it's only four over Vegas. They have to say. So
I mean, you know,
I think it's the highest win total in Vegas. I think they of all the teams, I think they have the highest win
more
total
than Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the competition's tough, but I think that they may have the highest more than Golden State. I'll have to take a look, but I think I read that yesterday.
Well, it's all very exciting, and then you can even take away the Red Sox game at 5 o'clock.
And by the way, the power rankings, speaking of that real quick, Fred, just sticking with the TD Garden, all the power rankings have the Bruins at number one right now. Mm-hmm. No. Everyone loves the power rankings.
Yes.
Because they mean everything.
That's right. You have to have power rankings. You have to have them stacked up, considering the Bruins have played garbage teams. And got destroyed in their first game. So, yes, of course, they're the number one team in the league.
There's a lot. I've read a bunch of articles about why this whole Halak Tuukka Rask is great for the team. They think that it's going to cause competition. It's only going to make Tuukka Rask hopefully play better. A lot more minutes, a lot more rest than last year either one was able to get. So
Halak is going to play half the games. So
you have to think so, yeah.
I believe that Halak is going to play half the games, and no one can tell me different.
You see it now. You know, backup goaltenders were usually good for 15, maybe 20 starts a season if there's an injury. Now you're looking at teams, if you have a half-decent backup, they want the backup to play 30.
No, Halak's going to play 40 games this year. I bet you anything. He's going to play every other game. He's just as good as Tuukka Rask. I don't. Why wouldn't you?
You're going to give Rask the chance to start his 50 or 55. I mean, that Cassidy, out of loyalty, and you know the talent's in there somewhere, he's going to give Rask the opportunity. But if he slips, now you don't hesitate. You know, Anton Khudobin was nice in spurts, but this guy is a legit starting goaltender in the National Hockey League.
Which I've said since the beginning of the season, and they will have no hesitation to play Halak. None. But as them being the best team in the NHL, that is not the case by any stretch of the imagination.
They're just power ranked that high, Fred.
No,
it's all about power.
Yeah, especially this
being ranked.
Especially in the middle of October. That's a very exciting time to be ranked so high. But listen, wins count. Last
sure.
year they started off crappy.
It's a good point, yep.
And so, you know, wins
and it
count.
Bit him in the ass, right, yes. Yep.
So, you know, every win counts. Every point counts. Right. It's not, it's not make-believe.
No.
If you can rack up some points early in the season, it allows for a lull. Maybe a little later.
I love that there's like a controversy that people are trying to brew that Marchand just isn't shooting enough.
No, that's been happening all year. Yeah, that first line's a real problem.
Right, of all the things you need to look at with his team and write an article about there being an issue with, I would say at the extreme bottom of that list would be the first line.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the records of some of the teams here, where the power rankings could be. Carolina's undefeated. I hope they're ranked high. Let's see.
But do they have power?
Oh, I'm sorry. Carolina's 4-1-1. They have the second best record in the Eastern Conference. New Jersey's undefeated. We all know they'll be there at the end.
Mm.
You know, I mean, Montreal 3-1-1. You know, the Canadians are stacked, right? So, I mean, long way to go.
All right, Rich, we have what happened last night. What are we going to talk about?
We got some information about the vandal at the Patriots game. How dare you throw beer into the face of Tyreek Hill? We will get to that. And also, there has been some trash talk coming out of Houston that was kind of unexpected, to be quite honest.
All right. We will have all that for you in just a moment.
Listen live and check out all of our podcasts.
Critics acclaimed it as radio's finest production.
Available wherever and whenever you want.
Getting out of control.
On the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
And gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
985 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary. Well, if you watch the Patriots, Red Sox, or both Sunday night, chances are most people you know did as well, because when it comes to the TV ratings, 81% of all televisions in Boston were tuned to one or both of these games. That means, what were the other 19% watching? I have no idea. But now on Friday...
Family Guy?
Is that Sunday night? It was a new one? Is there a new Family Guy?
Yeah, there was. Oh, okay. A whole new Fox lineup of animated cartoons.
Oh, well, now on Friday, all three of us predicted which game would win the local ratings by how much. I said the Patriots would double the Sox, and Fred, you and John said the Patriots would triple them. Well, we have an answer, and the answer is that none of us were really right. The Patriots earned a 34.3 rating, meaning the percentage of televisions in or out of use in the market we're watching at, a 51 share. The Red Sox got a 20 rating and a 30 share in the market. So it's a 51 to a 30. So we all overshot. The Patriots did a little less than doubling the Red Sox.
Well, I read something different. I read that they over tripled.
I read the same thing Rich did. I'm amazed that the Red Sox pulled a 20. I'm amazed at that.
Yeah, 20, I mean, it's huge. Well, if you want to put that in perspective, like nationally, the Patriots Chiefs earned a 14-6, which is the most watched program on television. It was the highest rated Sunday night NFL game since week one of the 2017 season, and up 34% over last year's week six Sunday game, which was Giants and Broncos. It's also tied for the highest rated week six game in Sunday night football's 13 seasons.
It's all because you can't land on the quarterback.
That has changed at all.
Now people are finally discovering the game.
Okay, who is the rookie? Was he a linebacker? The one who basically had Tom Brady tackled and then let him go and when Tom Brady ran in? Because he thought Tom Brady had gotten rid of the ball before Tom Brady scored the touchdown.
Right, he thought he was right.
Well, you hear what he's saying now. He's saying the reason that he let go of Tom Brady was because he was afraid he was going to get fined.
Of course.
For hurting the quarterback.
Especially Tom Brady. Yeah. I mean, you do anything to Tom Brady, you breathe on Brady.
Oh, come on. He had him by the legs. It wasn't like there was anything finable.
Listen,
no, that was an F up, Breland, and that's in covering
Breland
his ass.
Breland Speaks is the guy's name. Yeah, if I'm a linebacker, first of all, you can't hit the quarterback. I mean,
he was on the bottom of his body.
I understand that. But if you're a defensive player, we've talked about this more times than I can count. If you're a defensive player, you have like a 2-foot by 2-foot square that you can hit the quarterback from in front or behind. And when you tackle him, you can't really wrap him up, because if you land on him, that's a penalty too.
That's true, but
so
not
if
in
you
this
have
situation.
Your hands on a quarterback and you think the ball is gone, you let go immediately, because God help you if you hang on and bring him down the wrong way, it's a penalty.
And the problem was that he didn't check to see if the ball was gone.
I understand
so
that.
So he's using that as an excuse.
He made a mistake, but you can kind of see the thought process. I understand that.
Yeah, you're not allowed to hit Tom Brady. I mean, that's the bottom line.
No, that is true. That is absolutely true.
You're not allowed to hit Tom Brady.
He did. It was a big play, but still, I understand why the kid did what he did.
Demonstrative if you hit him. He doesn't like it. He complains.
I have to be honest. It's made the quality of the games better. This entire year, there's been rarely a dud. Like most of the primetime games, and I've seen a lot of them.
You have a lot of scoring.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You have a lot of scoring.
I don't mind. No. I don't mind that. I like this new generation of quarterbacks, too, that's coming up. Hmm. I mean, a lot of yards.
Quarterbacks now I don't think aren't nearly as intimidated or scared as they used to be.
I don't think that football... I'll tell you this, is that on Monday or Sunday night, I was far more... I enjoyed the Red Sox game far more than I enjoyed the Patriots game. And that was considered... I mean, Zolak said it was one of the great regular season games of all time.
Yeah, you see, I couldn't disagree more. That second half of the Patriots game was
It was great. It was great to watch up and down the field. And just going back to the ratings thing, I'm amazed. A, the baseball game was on TBS and not like a main channel. And B, the game was 43-40. It was back and forth. It went right down to the last minute. And still, the ratings are somewhat even, all things considered. It's incredible.
I now find baseball to be a more exciting game to watch than football. Because football is just a dragging.
See, this year it hasn't felt that way.
It is. Trust me, go to a game and find out how fun that is.
You have to
watch it. But you also went to one of the all-time worst ass-kicking, like, lopsided games of the year. Like, you went to that Detroit Jets one, which
was terrible from the beginning. Even when the Jets were down 7-0, it was terrible. It was a slog. It sucks. It's awful. God bless everyone who sits there. No wonder people chuck beers at people.
Well, let's get to
that. It's a little bit of an excitement in a very boring game.
Well, because if you were watching Sunday's game, you may have seen that guy in the stands throw a beer in the face of Tyreek Hill in the end zone after his breakaway touchdown late on that game. Not soon after, Adam Schefter tweeted at Tyreek's agent and board-breaking badass. Drew Rosenhaus.
Does that hand still work?
Yeah, everything's great.
Who right there was wearing a kick-ass gi, I'm sure. Schefter and Drew Rosenhaus said this guy needs to be prosecuted. Well, yesterday the Foxborough police announced that they had found their beer-throwing rapscallion and that the actions will be taken against him. Here is the Foxborough chief of police and a bunch of reporters asking strange questions.
We were able to identify this person as a 21-year-old man from Mansfield who will be summoned to court for two charges, disorderly conduct and for throwing an object at a sporting event. You know, I think we had 14 custodies at this event with 65,000 people. I think it's a demonstration of how successful both the stadium and the police are at minimizing this kind of disruptive fan behavior.
Yeah, congratulations. And I can only imagine the stiff prison term that comes from throwing something on the field.
I've got to get audio of it, but all of the talking head shows yesterday were like, let this guy spend a week in jail.
Yeah.
Let him see what it's really like.
That's what I want to pay for. I want to pay for this guy to spend a week in jail for throwing a beer. And by the way, those seats suck. You're low in the end zone. Boo.
Yeah, not the best, because you're standing at field level. I mean,
and then if anything is past the 30-yard line, you're screwed. I mean, it's nice when they're coming at you. Spend a week in jail. That's exactly what I want my tax money to go to, is putting this guy in jail.
Have you been in contact at all with Drew Rosenbaum, who's his agent, or Tyreek Hill?
Don't tell Drew that.
He's going to be pissed.
He'll be pissed.
Anti-Semitic.
Drew Rosenbaum.
Anti-Semitic. He just replaced.
Just threw out a name.
Yes, indeed.
Sounds Jewish.
Yes. You might as well say Drew something Jewish. Rosenbaum. You know, he's one of them agents. Let's get with him. Jewish Rosen.
Wasn't that a line from Fletcher? Rosen.
That's great. Drew Rosenbaum. Hey, you know, something Hebrew over there. Let's not go crazy.
Have you been in contact at all with Drew Rosenbaum, who's his agent, or Tyreek Hill, or anyone from the NFLPA?
No, we had a clear indication that they were not interested in pursuing charges, actually, and so this investigation and the result of this investigation were, you know, a decision made by the Foxborough Police in keeping with our responsibility at the stadium.
This happened in the area, in one of the end zones, where there is a bar. Is it surprising that this kind of activity, this kind of behavior would be an end zone where there's a bar right there?
The whole stadium is a bar.
Come on. Really?
Well, there was access to alcohol.
That's right. Well, the only place.
Good. You should take it away and see how many people come. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
You get a BC crowd.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I thought that this story is just ridiculous. So I just have 2 points. So wasn't he, like, beyond everyone else on the defense? Like, he didn't really have to run through the end zone and 15 yards to the stands, where he looked like he almost wanted to do the Lambo leap. And the guy didn't even throw the whole beer. He just poured the beer on him. And thirdly, the guy is, like, pleaded guilty to domestic violence 2 years ago. So, I mean, he's not the greatest guy in the world anyways.
Okay, all right. Well, I understand
I didn't know the backstory.
Yeah,
somehow blaming Tyreek Hill?
But I don't think that is why the fan... First of all, you don't do that. Don't pour beer on somebody. Don't be a jackass. No, I do love the people who are like, you should arrest the people flipping the middle finger. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
you've attended a sporting event.
But that phone caller said Hill ran too far through the end zone.
I've heard that too. How dare you disrespect the Patriots crowd? It was like, he's going to be the Lambo Leap.
And I'm like, no, there's something called the crowd. He had it coming to him.
I mean, you know what they should do is they should stop alcohol sales at Gillette.
Well, listen to this guy's line of questioning.
Be a very big money maker.
this dude's being serious, by the way.
It's enough that you put it in the middle of nowhere. Now they're going to take away alcohol.
He's cracked.
It's surprising that this kind of activity, this kind of behavior would be in an end zone where there's a bar right there.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that. I mean, as I said, it's a large event, 65,000 people. The number of people that misbehave at these events is very small. But we take our obligation to deal with that small percentage very seriously, and we've done so in this case.
Would you move to maybe curtail the activity in that bar? Maybe
no, I don't think it's a reflection of the...
Oh, shut up, stupid. mean, this guy's got the big story. Yeah, let's get to the real root of the problem.
Yeah, right, make sure. There's an angle no one would bring up but me.
Shut up, stupid.
What an idiot. Okay, you know what? You're the president of Gillette Stadium. You take away the millions of dollars in alcohol sales and also tell grown people what they can do. Because a 21-year-old threw beer at a guy.
So you're awesome. Yeah. Good for you.
It wasn't even full beer.
I've been hit by beer. Lord. I want a year in jail.
No, I don't think it's a reflection of the bar or the stadium or anything else. I think it's a reflection of bad decisions on the part of one person who's now going to be held responsible for his bad choices and its impact on other people.
That's right. I mean,
what's that Rosenbaum fella?
Getting angry with the Patriots afterwards issued this statement. Quote, Gillette Stadium security has identified the fan who violated the fan code of conduct by tossing beer onto a player during the game last night. The matter has been turned over to local law enforcement, and the fan will be sent a letter of disinvite to all future events at Gillette Stadium.
How the hell do you enforce that?
Well, I mean, you don't. You can't.
Maybe this season you can because you got the guys picking. I mean, you could post that, but
what are
next
they
season, 2 years from now?
Do you know how many jackasses
they have? Is
there
like a spotlight that comes on? Is you got a tracking chip on the guy?
And also,
how do you do that?
If you're the guy, I can't go to Gillette anymore? This is awful. My life is ruined.
Well, he'll never be able to see Taylor Swift or Ed Sheeran guy. Or No Shoes Nation.
There's nothing like seeing a show at a football stadium. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, we got Red Sox, and it seems like a player on the Houston Astros has made it interesting. A little bulletin board material.
Oh, that's what you need in baseball. All right, here are the headlines.
Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
What's up? We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to Fight Night Boston, featuring three title bouts, headlined by Demetrius this Saturday at the TD Garden.
Drew Rosenbaum. Who's actually who's headlining that?
Andrade.
Andrade.
This Saturday at the TD Garden. Purchase tickets today at Ticketmaster.com or by visiting the TD Garden box office. You're familiar with the Andrade guy?
No, I've seen that last name before. I think
all
it's
right.
Andrade.
Well, God bless you. You certainly made me look the fool.
Right.
All right. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, we speculated when Chris Sale went to MGH overnight with stomach issues that he may have had the Rhea.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I've heard a lot of speculation on the radio, which is just what drives me. I heard yesterday somebody saying that because he was taking medication because his arm is messed up, that conflicted with his stomach.
Well, if you're taking painkillers, it can cause constipation. That is true.
Enough for an overnight stay at MGH?
Again, I think when you're an athlete in the midst of the playoffs, you get a little, what you and I might, lay in bed and take, but probably go to work with.
Right, right.
Is something that they send you to the hospital.
You go to the hospital for a little flush. A flush, you know, you're constipated.
Wet and wild, baby.
Yeah.
Wet and wild.
It's like a water slide. Well, here is Alex Cora talking about Chris Sale's condition now that he has been released.
He's out of the hospital. He'll be here with us tomorrow. Everything is fine. So we'll see how he feels physically. Then after that, we'll decide what we're going to do. We need him to get here first and then see how he feels. I mean, this is more than the Red Sox. This is about the individual. Everything I heard, you know, he should be fine. And just a matter of him to show up, and we'll talk to him and see how he feels physically and go from there.
All right.
Well, he can't pitch anymore, so maybe might as well give him a little stomach issue. He ain't going to get better. He can't throw a slider.
Yeah, that was
his velocity is in the way toilet. Down. Yeah. So I mean,
his control was all over the place.
Well, listen, who am I? I mean, his mechanics are so terrible. I just don't understand. I don't understand how his arm could possibly hold up. Would you ever give him more money? Would you ever re-sign him?
I think it's a foolish investment to spend 5 years and it's going to be, what, $170 million? Whatever it is, and he's already in his 30s. However, having said that, the Red Sox made that mistake once before, and it cost them. So it's a tough spot to be in.
You mean Lester?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Lester, I thought Lester was mistaken by the Cubs, and it shows what I know, so take this with a grain of salt, but I would if I was any team, I would not sign Sale. No way.
Either that or somehow, although it'll never happen, try and strike a deal where there are opt-outs after year two or three.
Oh, sure, I'd do that.
I mean, but Sale would never do that. That's right. The thing.
No, if you said that I can opt out after 2 years, absolutely. Yeah. Here, take my money. But, I mean, his arm can't hold up for that long. It just can't.
Well, yes, it's back-to-back years, and I keep going back to the strategy in April and in May where they limited his pitches.
It doesn't matter.
And that's obvious now, but at the time, we were like, okay, good idea. We saw him flame out in the playoffs last year. Let's save some more bullets for later in the season, and he wound up on the disabled list in August.
The way he throws, there is no his arm can't handle it. There's no way he can throw a baseball for that length of time.
Can they just make up a false injury next year and where he comes back and starts playing in July?
I don't think it would matter.
Yeah, that's a thing. I'm not sure it would matter either.
You don't think that if he just has 3 months of pitching under his belt, he still would be in good condition? Because isn't it about the big flame out at the end of the year?
It's about his age and the mileage in combination with some kind of mechanical issue. That's what I think.
Well, it's not a mechanic. I mean, you've seen him throw. I mean, he throws across his body, sidearm. I mean, his arm can't handle it. Has anyone ever said that? I mean, first of all, pitching is a natural motion. If you throw overhand, that is a natural motion. It's a misnomer. Is that what the term is? People are ignorant of the subject.
I mean, he led the majors in innings pitched last season.
Okay. So anyway, but throwing a ball normally is a natural motion. It's just that you can't do it a billion times without, you know, thinking that you'll hurt something, just like anything else. Being sidearm and throwing across your body, as effective as it is and as how high his velocity is, and that it's obviously, if I'm a left-handed hitter, it's incredibly frightening, I would imagine, much like Randy Johnson. But there's no way his arm can keep that up.
Well, you would think that the Astros would have paid attention to what happened last time a team tried to troll the Red Sox. Maybe they didn't realize at the turning point, the ALDS, was when Aaron Judge blasted New York outside the Red Sox clubhouse. Yeah. Disrespect, yep. My friends.
And then Dustin Pedroia was right there to say, hey, I'm annoying.
I'm still here.
Yeah, just an annoying person.
Well, hours after Boston beat Houston in Game 2, Alex Bregman of the Astros shared a video on Instagram of the Astros hitting back-to-back home runs. Actually, back-to-back-to-back home runs.
Ding-dongs?
You ding-dongers.
Good old razzle-dazzle, bing-bong, bing-a-bongs.
That's right, against Game 3 Red Sox starter Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah,
From a game in June, and he put little pregame video work underneath.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah!
Take that! You like dingy-dongs? You like one? You like two? You like three? Four baggers!
That's right, well, you got just three. We got three out there.
Four baggers, though.
That's
right. Them all.
Well, A.J. Hinch, of course, the manager of the Astros, was asked about it. He said, welcome to the current generation. Obviously, there's fun banter. Kids. We want guys. By the way, he's not much older than these guys are. He goes, we want to have the guys that have their personalities, have their fun, then go out and back it up. And Eovaldi didn't seem too bothered by the video, saying he doesn't have social media, but some of his teammates had told him about it. Here's Eovaldi on the game tonight.
Pitching out there in Yankee Stadium, you know, they're a loud crowd as well, and I feel like if I go out there and do my job, you know, attack the zone, get that first pitch strike, you know, not give up any free bases, no walks, I feel like that'll keep the crowd out of it a little bit. But, I mean, I know they're going to be loud here, and with the roof closed and stuff, it gets even louder, so definitely looking forward to it, you know, pitching in this circumstance.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing that ball go, woo! over the wall.
Well, Eovaldi, as good as he's been lately, his previous start against the Astros kind of sucked. He allowed 7 hits and 4 runs and a 5-1 loss, but that was all the way back in June 20th.
Different pitcher
Tampa
now.
Bay.
Different pitcher, different team.
Yep.
No problem.
Could be.
Yeah. Well, say that when you're waving goodbye to a long ball. See you later. Souvenir for the good lady in left.
By the way, 5 o'clock is the first pitch, which is fantastic.
Gonna get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
5 o'clock.
You or the people in Houston?
Me.
Okay.
All right. That's 4 o'clock in Houston, man. That's some early drinking.
So?
That's not early. People have business lunches.
It's a late lunch.
No, but they have lunches. You know, they'll drink at lunch. You know, who are we to question that?
Did you say the Patriots start at 12 on Sunday?
No, 12 in Chicago.
Oh, okay, yeah.
1 o'clock here.
Yeah.
All right. We will be back. For some reason, people are fascinated by this bike that I have. Young Sick Nicholas is supposed to come to my home today.
Oh, today's the day.
To put this bike together.
And so are you riding immediately? Like the second he gets it done, you're putting the helmet on and going?
I'm not putting a helmet on like some child.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm gonna go rip it up.
Why is he putting it together again?
Because he said he could.
All right. He volunteered. All right.
I never asked him to put it together.
Yeah, it's funny because we've been talking about it, calling you over, and I'm like, I forget what the origin of
he
him.
He said I can put the bike together, and I said okay.
Dan just said East Coast Chopper.
Yeah, he's East Coast Choppers.
I thought that was DA's nickname.
Well, I was going to say Crash. But yeah, he's East Coast Chopper. He's going to come over. He's going to put that bad boy together.
All right.
You want to watch the Red Sox game? Down there in Newton?
Nah. Said no.
Nah? I was going to give you a break there. So you're just going to come down there and you're going to put together the bike? Wait, what are you doing? Yes or no? Be decisive with your nods. All right.
More decisive nod.
You're going to come, right after the show, you're going to pop down? Yeah, you're real busy with your not knowing how to do what you're doing.
What's that? I can't hear anything.
Well done, Nick. As always, good work. Oh, I miss Lockhart.
He's going to leave a couple bolts out of your bike. Keep talking that way.
Apparently, I have to get some sweet, like, accessories.
Accessories. You need to accessh?
I need some cesses on that thing. I might need you to lean back seat, some higher handlebars, whatevs. I need pegs. Is there a place that still does freestyle bike crap?
I mean,
send it all to the stage.
There's a bunch of nice bike stores around here. I don't know if they...
Yeah, but they're all, like, with gears. They're for nerds, you know? I don't need any of that nerd stuff. John, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, I'm so glad you bought yourself a freestyle bike. Growing up, my older brother, who was a Dungeons & Dragons and freestyle nerd, ruined my childhood. So seeing the picture of the GT the other day on Instagram just brought me back to seeing him do his endo. So the first trick I want you to do, Fred, is I want you to try an endo, all right? Because if you miss, it's safe. You're not going to hurt yourself.
Oh, I'll do endos all day. I'll do that the minute I step on the damn thing.
Watch out now.
I can do endos. I mean, what an endo. I'll do endos on that stupid gear bike that I have. I'm not wearing a helmet like some nerd. Oh, look at me with my helmet. Oh, I'm so scared. Nah. Built for two. Having fun, cruising around in my GT Performer, and Nick's gonna put it together. It's got neon blue tires. That's the way that I'm gonna play on my kick-ass freestyle bike. Doing sick tricks and having fun, getting ladies wet with my sweet tricks.
You're gonna go in the mall?
Who knows what I'll do?
It's a mall nearby. You should be able to pull that off.
I might just go in the parking lot and go like and bunny hop all the cars. Nicholas has got a lot to do. I asked Nicholas if he wanted to see Lucero on Saturday, which I actually wouldn't have gone to, but then he said no. He's no Adolfo. Adolfo was always there to be a sidekick.
It's Adolfo, too.
It's because Nick has girlfriends.
Adolfo, when he he was sitting alone in his house playing video games.
Nick's got such a life. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to Fight Night Boston, featuring three title bouts headlined by Demetrius Andrade. This Saturday at TD Garden. Purchase tickets today at Ticketmaster.com or by visiting the TD Garden box office.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Zone.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Oh, finally, after a long wait, we will get to see Gordon Hayward on the court tonight when the Celtics have their home opener against the 76ers. And Gordon Hayward was asked, hey, man, how's that ankle feeling there?
Yeah, my ankle feels strong. I mean, I think, you know, I still can tell that it's the ankle that got hurt. I don't think that's going to go away for a little while, but continually doing rehab on it as well as the rest of my body. And some of that too is just getting older. You got to do more and more stuff.
Yeah, I was watching that thing that The Athletic did where it was a six-part documentary. And, you know, each one was about 12 minutes long in the rehab of Gordon Hayward. And after the first one, I think that's enough. I think I'm good. I know it was a tough road back and I saw you pick up marbles with your feet. And now I just want to see you play. The rest of it, I really, you know, to be quite honest, the piano music, I didn't really need.
It was heroic.
Much of that. I like
an
Gordon.
Inspiration.
I like Gordon Hayward a lot, but man, an entire hour of him doing rehab was tough enough. Imagine being Gordon Hayward and having to actually do it and sit there and watch. The one thing that I did think that was interesting that did from the one part I saw was that he said that while the Celtics were going through that huge winning streak, he was like, well, they're doing this without me. And he said that he kind of got somewhat depressed and at some point kind of insinuated that he would almost hope that they would lose.
because he felt valuable.
Human thing to say.
Oh, yeah. When you're not around, you want everything to fall to crap.
So he was like, he was so proud of the team and happy for him. But he goes, you know, at some point you get a little bit jealous that they're doing this without you.
Right. That's exactly good for him.
Yeah.
Because that's how every single person on the planet should feel.
Well, that was the thing, too, is that, Gordon Hayward's been kind of honest, and I think it's kind of bit him in the ass. Remember when he did the Daddy's Always Happy thing when, you know, they did the gender reveal, and he got a lot of crap for, you know, kind of rolling his eyes but acting not enthralled when he found out that it was another girl instead of a boy. He already had two girls. And he got a little bit of crap for that. And when we interviewed him, I was like, I thought that tons of guys could identify with that. Say what you will, but you're going to love your third daughter no matter what. But, you know, there's that thing that sometimes a father has that, you know, you want to have a son. And when it's not there, just like, all right, for a brief moment. And the fact that he got crap for that was ridiculous. And he goes, you know, believe it or not, I actually had a ton of guys like reach out and say, man, I feel you, but, you know, it's going to be okay on the other end. So another moment where he was completely honest and ended up getting crapped on for it. So here is Brad Stevens talking about how he's going to handle Gordon Hayward and his ankle.
He'll be a little bit restricted from a minute standpoint as we progress through this early part of the season. But that's just to make sure we ramp it back up so that he's feeling great towards the end of the year and, you know, in the years beyond. You know, he's a... it's hard to go from 13 months of not playing to playing the schedule that we're playing.
The other thing is that there was no deal made between the Celtics and Terry Rozier. And as we were told by Danny Ainge, if it wasn't done by today, then it was going to be staved off any kind of talks until next year. Why, if you were Terry Rozier, would you take any kind of extension from the Boston Celtics when you know you are going to get paid like a starter? And that's what he wants.
Phoenix
apparently
is going to come in. And from what I keep reading, Phoenix is going to come in and knock him over with a huge offer next summer.
He's going to get starter money and he's going to get starter minutes from somewhere. So
have fun in Phoenix, the worst city in America.
It's also going to be a while before you play on a team that's
ability to compete.
Phoenix is a terrible, terrible, terrible.
See, I don't mind Phoenix. The summer, it's the worst. I like Phoenix.
I didn't like the non-sleep we got while we were there, but I didn't think it was
awful, terrible place. I'd rather live in Indianapolis 1,000 times over.
You see, no, I would disagree with you there.
Disagree.
No, Phoenix is
warmer weather. Phoenix.
Oh, well, yeah. Phoenix. It's you can't walk outside for 3 months of the year. Yeah. Like, I mean, your skin will burn right off your body.
Yeah, they closed the golf courses in the summer, John.
Oh, and I can't go.
It's 110, and that's mm-hmm. without any kind of weird ass heat index.
It's hot in the shade.
Is that a Kiss album?
That is
right.